Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to Can We Talk Radio. I'm your host, Raz Williams, bringing you Can We Talk Fridays from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We've been off for a few months now, but as I promised, we're back, and I'm looking forward to the show this evening. We have an amazing woman of God who's going to be joining us a little later, who I will introduce shortly. But not only that, we have some amazing co-hosts on the show tonight with me, and I want to take a minute out, though, real quick, though, to thank those followers of Can We Talk Radio who have been listening over the past 2 years. I just want to say thank you for spreading the word and listening to the archives and, you know, just your positive encouragement. We do this because, you know, the Lord encourages us to do so, and it's a blessing that you guys are definitely being blessed by what we're saying here on the show. Well, guys, tonight it's going to be one of those shows that I say you don't want to miss. I've been looking forward to doing the show for the past several months now, as a matter of fact. And it just so happens that, you know, God aligned everything perfectly to have the right people here on the show tonight. And, you know, real quick, before I get to the show, there's a few things on my mind I want to talk about. And on this evening, guys, I want to spend a little time talking about being desperate, a.k.a. thirsty. The feeling of desperation, you know, you look around, dating and relationships, people wanting to be married, whatever it is that you believe in God for, it doesn't have to be a relationship per se. It could be, you know, a multitude of different things. Whatever you believe in God for, people are experiencing, you know, frustration, turmoil. There's just a lot of stuff going on. A lot of questions are out there. You know, people are seeking quick fix answers and remedies to their situations, and it's causing many people to become desperate. And I just wanted to say, family, that, you know, God did not make us to be desperate. Everything that our Father does in our lives is always purposeful, it's calculated, and it's intended. And He has a perfect plan for your life. And as the Word says, He knows the plans that He has for you. But here's the problem. The enemy traffics in the desperation lanes of our lives to detour you from walking into your God-ordained destiny. And in the Word of God, I just want to highlight an illustrative example, and this can be found in Isaiah chapter 4. And it says, "In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, 'We will eat our own food and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by the name to take away our reproach.'" So things had gotten so bad in Israel at that time that they were willing to lower their standards just to have a man. And this is what happens when we allow the pressure of the culture, the pressure of our erratic emotions, the pressures of our current situations to overtake us. In Isaiah chapter 3, the same women began to adopt the culture of the world, and they embraced the world's apparel. They embraced the world's attitudes, and they became proud, puffed up, haughty. And this was never the will of God for their lives, and it's not the will of God for your lives. So I just want to say for those ladies listening that, you know, don't be desperate. You know, whatever you're believing God for, God wants you to have that. But you have to, you know, there's a season for all things. Trust his timing, and more importantly, trust his process of developing you to receive what he wants you to have. So, guys, if you have a question or comment, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. Well, the Bible warns us that in the days before the return of Jesus Christ, in the last days, there will be a unique attack on women. Women of today will be offered a false path that leads not to genuine liberation but to destruction. And Jesus repeatedly warns us in Matthew 24:4, watch out that no one deceives you. And so many women today struggle with embracing their God-given value and beauty in a world that has been weaponized by Satan to kill their confidence, steal their hope, disbelieve their value, and strip them of their true identity in Christ through distractions, distortions, perceptions, and misdirections. I'm amazed to discover that most women struggle with the feeling that they just don't measure up, especially in the era of beauty. And many women struggle with self-doubt, fulfillment, the need to be loved, satisfaction, and true happiness. And you'll be surprised to find that this is true for women of all ages, from 8 years old to 80 years old and everyone in between. And so the heart of this battle, though, it's not natural, it's spiritual. And so this is why I titled today's show, Fiery Darts Will Come. And I want to go ahead and introduce my co-host for this evening, Minister Del Lopp from the ATL. Minister Del Lopp, welcome back, sir. How you doing, and what do you think tonight's topic?
I'm doing good, man. And, you know, it's a great topic as always, because you're dealing with a subject that has really kept a lot of people in bondage. And it's just the pressures and the stress of trying to measure up and trying to figure out what to do in order to get what God has already done.
Amen. Absolutely. Next, we have my sister from another mother, Nicole from San Diego, California. Nicole, it's been a minute. How you been, and what do you think tonight's topic?
It has, but I love how the spirit is always in unison. Tonight's topic immediately brought me to Ephesians chapter 6, which is well known for implementing the armor of Christ, which we all should have. And verse 16 reads, I will just extract the flaming darts from the evil one, but the entire verse states, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And I won't dive too much into dissecting that. However, because of the title that you shared with me earlier this week, Raz, and how that immediately just popped up, it reminded me that this topic is very important for us to choose some of the things that we see happening in our lives and how fruitful we are, because often we may be busy and productive seeking something that we wish to aspire, but we don't know what is regulating that. And one motto that I've always implemented in my own life after overcoming a very critical season was waking up and deciding, am I going to be ruled by the Spirit or governed by the flesh? And I think tonight's topic is really going to help us to understand a more broad spectrum of how that can help us when we're actually giving ourselves into a relationship.
Absolutely. Now, Nicole, you have a little bit of a testimony, right? You want to share that?
Oh, wow. That just came so quickly. So my testimony is, this is going to be very vulnerable and challenging to speak live, because of the community and network I have, which many may have heard of or have yet to take light in. But, hey, here it goes. So I was a transplant to San Diego. That's a pretty vernacular term out here, meaning I'm from the East Coast, came out here, made a living, and trying to be rooted here so I can one day say, I'm a Californian. Great. My plan did not go in the way that I saw it being. I had many challenges is the best word to overcome, but it never stopped me until most recently. I felt like I was at a really bad breaking point, and the most reassuring, easy outlet, which actually narrows tonight's topic with relationships, seemed easy and comfortable to go back to my most recent journey, which was Florida, which helped me to sustain, get independent, and come to California so I can finish school and start my career here. However, being that I'm from Rhode Island, I had a lot of pride to go home and say, look, I need a break and I need to like kind of recharge. However, I know that that would have been a trigger for me. So I reached out to a few people, which I normally confide in, and I reached out to Raz, being one of them, and my spiritual mom. And even after all the reassuring godliness ministered in me, I still had a lot of struggle in what I could do. And I received a word that said, just be still. And in that week, I found a lot of things that needed to happen were already in the process, but I was just too busy trying to collect the best result. Long story short, a very close friend of mine, who I was really grateful to have experienced half of my stay so far in San Diego, blessed me with a brand new vehicle, which was a burden for her at the time when she was repositioning her life all the way overseas. The magnitude of how much we spent in our relationship growing and learning from each other as friends was amazing and a blessing. Sometimes I surpass it and take it for granted. But then the biggest thing that helped me to stay here is most recently a really close friend of mine allowed me to stay in their home to get back on my feet and become a little bit more financially disciplined when it comes to living in such a rigorous state as California. So all the things that I was stressing and like tripping over and trying to figure out has brought me back to the conclusion where I'm exactly where God needs me to be. And I thank Raj for pouring into me and not giving me a bias, but just directing me where I needed to be. And that's where God was. So I thank God for that. And I'm really grateful that no longer am I going to think about all those other options. So I'm just going to continue growing here.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely, amen, powerful principle right there. Well, guys, I was browsing through, you know, YouTube the other day, and I came across an interesting video titled Why the Breakup is a Blessing. And the title grabbed me because, you know, on this show, we embrace the same subjects. You know, we talk about relationships and breakups and things like that, on numerous occasions. And upon further review, I said, let me take a look at this video, see what this lady's talking about, you know, see what kind of knowledge she has. And so I was watching the video, and I kept watching. And I was like, huh, okay. See, you know, I was really impressed with the degree of godly maturity and wisdom and insight that was coming out of this lady's mouth. And I was thinking, wow, we need to have her on the show. And so I reached out to her, she reached out back out to me, and she agreed to come on the show. And I just, you know, I'm happy, you know, really happy, and just a pleasure to introduce the founder of His Daughter's Closet Women Empowerment Ministries, Morgan Tracy James. Morgan is a powerful woman of God, passionate and serious about her calling and relationship with God. She's transparent and seeks to empower women by sharing godly wisdom for everyday living. Morgan, thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. Welcome to Can We Talk, and what do you think of tonight's topic?
Oh, man, I love the topic. Thank you so much for the introduction. I truly appreciate it. Honestly, this topic hits home for me as just a young woman, and, you know, in today's society, relationships, it just really hits home. And so when I seen the topic, I was like, yes, you know, I love opportunities to speak on things like this, you know, especially to just people in general. We all need our eyes open to the truth of God, how he views relationships.
All right. Amen. Absolutely. Now, Morgan, if you don't mind, the tradition of Can We Talk, every time we have a special guest, we're just going to ask you just to, for the next 20 to 30 minutes, just to share with our listeners, you know, what the Lord has put in your heart to share tonight. And then after that, we're probably going to go into some questions and answers. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Absolutely. Well, guys, before we allow Morgan the floor, if you have a question or comment, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310.
Okay, guys. Well, like you said, I'm Morgan Tracy J. I am a YouTuber, I'm a speaker, and also I'm a blogger. I actually love to do this stuff. I've been in ministry, I guess you can say, full-time for a long time, but I never really realized it because it's just a lifestyle, right? Ministry is just our lifestyle. But even going through this process, I realized the challenges and the perversion I had with relationships. When I say perversion, it's just like for a long time, I idolized men. And as he said earlier, desperate, you know, thirsty, that's exactly what I was. I needed a man's attention. I needed for him to tell me I was beautiful. I needed for him to acknowledge me. because when a man was not looking at me, I felt unworthy. I felt ugly. I didn't feel like I was enough. And so through the process of this, I slowly started to realize, obviously, the truth of God. God tells me that my worth is in him. It's not in a man. It's not connected to anything other than God. But growing up, and when you see boys, and when you start to date really young, and when you don't do everything right, you know, I didn't wait until marriage or anything like that. So I had a lot of perversion going on inside of me to where men were God to me. I would worship them pretty much. And, you know, God says he will pull down every idol, right? And so men became my idol. So it was no surprise when God had to take me through a season to where I needed to be alone, where I didn't need to look at a man, when I didn't need to desire a man. And in that time, honestly, as I'm even speaking right now, I can just remember the time of feeling unworthy. You know, I cut my hair and I went through like this transformational period. And now I look back at it, it was really God trying to allow me to see the beauty that was within and to not only depend on the outward beauty. And as I'm talking right now, I still can also think about just some things that as a young woman in college I was going through. To decide to be celibate in college was one of the biggest decisions, I thank God, that I ever made, but also it was one of the hardest because you come up against different challenges and different ways of the world. You start to see it and you start to kind of doubt. And so to my single women out there, I want to let you know to never doubt what God has already showed you or what he has already told you. Because the video he's talking about, the breakup is a blessing, is because I started to doubt what God had already shown me. And so in that process, I started to compromise my morals. I started to compromise everything that I already knew God had revealed to me. I started to compromise for a certain man. And so to my ladies out there, do not compromise if it's something that is going to come against the word of God. Do not compromise it. Because honestly, if we step out of the alignment to get the man, then it's not going to be about how much we got to do. It's just going to be like how far we're going to bend now. We're going to keep bending and keep bending and keep bending. Before we know it, we'll look and say, man, how did I get so far off track? And honestly, that's exactly what happened to me. Before I knew it, I kept bending and bending, and then I'm looking up and I'm saying, God, where did I go? Why did I ever take my eyes off of you? You know, I was good in your presence, but for some reason I walked out into another path that I thought was pretty. It was actually pretty enticing. You know, God, I walked away from the path that I was on with you, and I encountered another path, and guess what? I see now that I actually was in the best presence I could have ever been in. But I've casted my pearls before swine now. And I'm standing here, feeling isolated, feeling alone. And when all of this stuff shattered before me, God, you were the only thing left. And so what I understand, and I want to tell my single women, is compromising in the small things are eventually going to equal to big things. When I started to just compromise, maybe you can come over a little later. It's okay. Yeah, maybe we can do things like this. That's okay. The more I started to compromise, the more it came up to bigger and bigger and bigger things. Okay, and so what I want to tell you is if you're with a guy and God gives, or your spirit starts to say like, oh, hold on now, listen to that, because God is just trying to protect you. You know, sometimes people can tell us, girl, you're doing too much. I don't know how many times my friends, since I've been on the celibacy journey, girl, you're doing too much. He can't do that. Like, you're doing too much. Like, I've heard that so many times, but honestly, I know the God that I serve, and sometimes I got to do too much because the God that I serve, he wants to protect me. He's already seen the broken and shattered pieces inside of me, and he doesn't want to add any more shattered pieces to this puzzle. You know, he wants to guide me. He wants to protect me. And what I started to understand in that time was single ladies, as for me right now, as a single woman, I do get down. I do one day just think, like, what if, you know, I have my moments of, you know, disbelief sometimes. Like, God, is it really real? Or is it really going to, am I going to be single all my life? You know, I have these questions. But the last thing you want to do is not only get desperate, but because desperate, when you get desperate, you're going to lead you to compromising. You're going to say, he's sort of right. He kind of has a walk with God. He kind of, you know, he looks really good, and he goes to church, but I know his lifestyle does not reflect Christ in any form of way. You know, you're going to see these things, but a lot of times we're so desperate that we overlook those red flags. we overlook them, and God is standing in front of us saying, hey, sweetie, he's not good. Get away from him. Hey, sweetie, you see that red flag? You might want to walk away from him. Sweetie, if he can't lead you to God, then who is he going to lead you to? Sweetie, open your eyes. I'm trying to teach you something. Sweetie, it's just a test. Don't fall too deep. And honestly, now I see, because God continued to try to show me things over and over. But honestly, as a single woman now, I have the eyes to where I can say, hey, Morgan, that was a red flag. You know, take your time. Be patient. And so the single ladies out there, the encouraging word, honestly, is to serve God. It's to get so grounded in the things that God wants you to do that you don't even realize you're alone. To get so focused on your calling and your gifts and doing the things that God has put in your heart that you don't start to look left and right and say, oh, is he my husband? Oh, is he the one? Is he the one? Is he the one? Or, oh, he's so handsome. You know, eventually you get so engulfed in the presence of God to where you no longer realize you're alone. You no longer will settle for a Netflix and chill type of partner. You no longer will settle for a cuddle buddy, because guess what? God is all you need. God will fulfill you with his presence. And guess what? In the process of that fulfillment, you won't even realize you're being fulfilled. You'll look up and you'll be months, things will go past, and you'll say, gosh, God, you know, I haven't been on a date in so long, and I haven't been pursued in so long, and I'm actually okay with that. You know, because I don't need a man to qualify me, to tell me that I'm worthy. Lord, my worth and my identity is only in you. And I think that's what the powerful message to my ladies is. I want to encourage you to get into the things of God. You know, a lot of times I will see things on YouTube about praying for your future husband. And I recently did a video, but I switched up because a lot of times we're so quick to pray for that future husband than truly get our prayer life right. A lot of times I would get down quick to pray for my future husband when I had not truly even prayed and interceded for my family, for my communities, you know. So what I was saying is, it's great to pray for your future husband, but what you're praying for, make sure that's what you are. Make sure you're becoming that prayed-up wife in yourself. Make sure you're becoming a woman of faith, that Proverbs 31 woman that we all want to be. Make sure that's who you're becoming. Because a lot of times our eyes will be so focused on the husband that, guess what, we'll be missing what God is doing. I remember the first couple of months in my singleness, the first probably 6 months, I thought it was a plague. I was so ready to get back into a relationship. Any man that kind of even looked at me, I was ready. I was like, yes. But guess what? For some reason, it seemed like God hid me, because no men pursued me in that time, but I was looking for a man. Like, I was ready to not be single anymore. This wasn't fun. I wanted this. I wanted that. And guess what? It didn't happen. And so first off, I know I wasn't the only one that experienced that. Singleness is not a plague, but it's actually a time where God takes you in, he sits you on his knee, and he speaks life into you. He gets rid of the broken pieces in your heart, and he gives you new pieces. He allows your brokenness to become woven with his presence to where you're finally awakened in him. And so where you have a spirit of remorse, it says God is close to the brokenhearted and to them of a contrite spirit. Contrite spirit means remorse. And I remember when I was brokenhearted, I would repeat that Bible verse over and over because I wanted God to realize that I knew he was close to me, but he needed to see how remorseful I was of my actions, how I purposely went out and sought a man. How I purposely had sex before marriage. How I purposely went against his word. You know, I wanted God to see that, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. And look at the outcome. I'm broken. So single ladies, be careful, because the grass is not always greener. Especially right now, sometimes especially if you have to compromise. It might look good in the beginning. It really might. But in your compromising of your morals and of your faith and saying, well, he's not that bad. He'll get saved eventually. You know, I don't really know what his focus is, but he really always wants to stay the night and things. And I keep telling him my morals, but he keeps trying to battle those out for some reason. Well, sweetie, that is a red flag. That's a red flag. Because the man God has for you won't push your buttons like that. He wants you to stay pure. He wants you to fulfill your vow to God. That is the type of man that you should desire. So us as single women, no, let's not be desperate, but let's get so fixated in the things of God that we have like a tunnel vision only for God. So where the man can only find us if we're in the presence of God. And when we step out of the presence of God, we already know it because we've been in his presence for so long that, hey, this really don't feel right. This relationship, this dating don't really feel right. So let me get back to where I was, because for some reason, when I stepped into this with you, things went left. I started to see the flags and I started to ignore them, though, at the same time. So my single ladies, and I love saying single ladies because I'm a single lady. And at one time I did not like it, but now I enjoy it. I'm embracing it. And it's and the reason I can embrace it so much is because I had to go through the season where I had to be hidden in God so he could show me that my worth was only in him, wasn't in a man. And for a long time, people would tell me I couldn't step into my calling until I was married. I couldn't go and preach this sermon at a church until I was married. I needed this covering over me before I could go and do certain things. And let me tell you, that's not it at all. You are God. As a single woman, you have intimate, quiet setting with God. That is who you have. You are his. You can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and praise him. You can get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and speak in tongues and get some revelations. Oh, he can wake you up at 6 and tell you to, hey, get down and get to interceding. You don't, as a single woman, you have some free space and free time in intimate settings with God. And so what I want to tell you is don't believe that you can't step into things until you're married. Don't believe that. Because honestly, for a while there, I believed it. I wouldn't speak on certain topics. I wouldn't step fully into my ministry. When God continued to show me the sign, sweetheart, step into it. But no, God, I'm single. I can't do that. And hey, you know, I'm getting older, and so people are looking at me, and, you know, women in the church think I need to, you know, they're trying to put me up with every man that walks through the door. So, Lord, how help me. Because I feel like I should wait before I step into this. But God does something different. God wants us to be his and only his. It says he's a jealous God. And we have to be careful that we don't begin to idolize and worship men. Because your singleness is only as good, your marriage is only as good as your singleness, Dr. Miles Monroe once said. So make sure you're in your singleness, you get empowered. You get lifted up. You don't stop, okay? What I'm trying to say is you get to work. Like, honestly, I'm 24 years old, and I don't even realize half the time. I was outside feeding my dog today, and I said, oh, girl, it's Friday. I didn't even realize it was Friday, but, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of other 24-year-olds knew it was Friday. Oh, they was about to get something going on. You know what I'm saying? So when you get so engulfed in God, the days of the week don't even matter no more. Your fears and your failures don't even matter no more. When you get so engulfed in God, see, as single women, there's something God specifically wants to give you, but a lot of times we're too fixated and our eyes are too fixed on that man that we miss the sight of God. That we're so focused on this man that, oh, what if one day at that time I'm going to wear this dress and I'm going to look like this? We're so focused on then versus living in the now, because in the now is God. It says, I think the lady on here said earlier, God told her to be still. And I don't know how many times I've heard be still. Be still, my child. Because there's a reason why you are single. There's something you got to get in this season. Just like seasons change, one day you will not be in this season. One day you will not be a single. You will not be single. One day you will have children. One day you will be a wife. So in that season you get there, great. But right now, embrace this time. There is something God has for you in this season. And if we're so quick to look ahead, we'll miss what God is revealing to us today. And I realized that a lot of times in my little notebooks and journals, I would be in college, I would be quick to write, I couldn't wait for this. I couldn't wait to graduate. Oh, I couldn't wait to be married. Oh, I couldn't wait to do this. I couldn't wait. While the whole time I was waiting for something, looking ahead, not even living day to day and putting in the work that God had called me to do. You know, because we're supposed to bear fruit. And then when I looked up, I realized everything I wanted, I wasn't bearing any fruit today, though. But it was because I was so focused on the man. I was so focused on the future when, honestly, God was standing right in front of me saying, daughter, I'm right here. Your faith don't get better once you get in marriage. Your faith don't get stronger. Your prayer life don't get better once you get in marriage. Get it better today. The things that you fail at, the things that the insecurities that plague your mind, those thoughts that you know where you still need to overcome, those are the things that will follow you into marriage if you're not careful. So you, the one that feels very insecure around a big group of women, you might feel like you're too overweight, you might feel like you look weird, your body is shaped funny, that same insecurity will follow you into marriage if you don't get it under control now. Oh, you're that one that always felt like the ugly sister? Oh, yeah, I know about that. That will follow you into your marriage if you don't get that, if you don't overcome that right now. So what I'm telling you is singleness is a time to become an overcomer. Singleness is a time to walk into your awakening, the awakening in God, so he can reveal the truth to you, so you can see who your identity is. You can say, wow, you've actually been great this whole time, but I just seen you out of the wrong set of eyes. You know, I've seen you through eyes of perversion and eyes of lust and eyes of seduction, but honestly, that's not who you are at all. And that's how you will speak to yourself. You will be able to see the beauty within. And I think that's the biggest thing that I realized with my singleness is I had to learn myself. And in learning myself, I had to love myself where I was at. I couldn't love myself when I lost the 10 pounds. I couldn't love myself when I got that good money. I couldn't start loving myself, when I become that and I get this house and I get my nice car. No, because God loves me today right where I'm at. And so that makes me have to bite the bullet and love myself today right where I'm at. And that's exactly what we have to do as single women. We have to love ourselves enough to put up certain standards that are God's and to not break those down when someone tells us we're beautiful. Or when someone speaks some amazing words to us, we have to be willing to keep up our standards and our morals that God has put in place. We have to be willing to do that. Because if we're not careful, we will be into something and we will wonder, Lord, how did I get here? How did I get here? And that's where I was at. 3 years ago, I was wondering after I had went on a whole other path, Lord, how did I get here? How did I end up walking into this relationship and eventually having sex, but then getting an apartment with a man that doesn't even really want to marry me? Lord, how did I get here? So now I've idolized him, so now you got to pull all this down. You got to break all this apart. How did I get here? That is the big question. And so what if you don't want to go through that process? You don't want to go through those type of things. And so the biggest advice I could ever give to you is get the tunnel vision for God. Because when someone does not align with that vision, you will be able to see it. You will have the eyes and you will have the spirit and you will have the discernment to say, hey, hold up. Let me take this a little bit slower. You know, let me do a fast for a couple of days. I don't know how many times I've fasted on things because things just did not quite line up. And in one of the fasts, I remember hearing, daughter, do not awaken love until he pleases. And I said, okay. So what we have to do is we have to be cautious, but also we have to be willing to keep our morals where they're at. And you will get people to say, you don't think those are too high? You think you really will find somebody like that, though? You think a man will really seek you out, though? And he'll take you on dates and he'll court you? You really think that? And you say, yes, I do. Because I know the God that I serve. And in the beginning, he had a man for me. I was made from him from the beginning. So let's take it back. Let's take it back. Let's take back our morals. Let's take back our power and our authority that God has granted to us. Let's no longer give it over to the next man that tells us we're beautiful, but let's take it back. And let's stand firm. Because it's through our faith that we can be healed from our afflictions. It's through our faith that we can have inner peace. And it's through our faith that when that man comes across us and he is ours and God has already revealed that in some form or another, it is through our faith that we will know that this is right. So right now for my single ladies, the biggest encouragement I can give you is get your eyes on God. Don't wait to live when you get married. Live today and embrace your singleness, okay? I thank y'all so much for having me. I enjoy talking about, you know, single stuff. Oh, my gosh, because I'm a single woman and I just love talking about this subject. I didn't used to feel like this at one time. At one time I was trying to jump ship and all that stuff, but eventually God started to work on my heart and he started to reveal himself to me more and more. And it's been in my singleness that my faith has grown. It's been in my singleness that I've got to go and travel. It's been in my singleness that I've had the liberty, the spirit of liberty. It's been in my singleness that I've cried many nights to God at God's feet. It's been in my singleness that I've woke up in the late night hour and praised God. It's been in my singleness to where I've encountered failures, but still in that time God was strengthening me. It was in my singleness that the woman that is speaking today was developed. It was in my singleness. And so that's what I want to tell you. Do not sleep on your singleness, because when you sleep on that, you're sleeping on God. So don't sleep on it. There is some power, there is some truth, and there are some lessons that you need to learn in your singleness. So don't sleep on it, all right? Well, I'm done.
Amen. That's, woo. Okay, guys, you heard it. MTJ,
wow.
I mean, that's, was deep. That's like scuba diving deep. I mean, wowee. Okay, well, guys, if you're tuning for the first time, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Special guest, MTJ, Morgan Tracy James, is in the building. So, we have a couple of questions that we want to go over. And Morgan, you said some very powerful things, and you talked about the fact that a lot of women, young women, women alike, wear their singleness as a curse. And why do you think that is?
Honestly, it also depends on our age and also our ethnicity and all that. But honestly, I just think it's life right now. Life right now, everything on social media is all about relationships, you know. And honestly, I feel like we think it's a plague because, you know, honestly, when I would walk into churches and be ready to speak and people would realize I was single, things would get a little different, you know. People would operate a little different around me. And so I think what singleness is, people view it as, why aren't you married yet, though? You know, it's an underlining question, but when dating nobody either? You know, God ain't let you to nobody. You know, so I feel like singleness in the church for sure is a good look, but eventually people start to wonder, when you going to get married?
All right.
Sure.
Minister Dale, question for you, sir. Morgan touched upon about, you know, having an identity in Christ. And Satan, we know that Satan assaults identity. He knows that if he can control the way we perceive ourselves, he can control how we live. So what would be the best way that a young woman can protect her identity, from the attack of this current culture and from the enemy? Minister Dell, do we have you on the phone? All right,
can you hear me?
Question.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Go ahead,
can
sir.
You hear me? Okay.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, first and foremost, it's about protecting what you allow to go before your eyes and your ears, those things that are surrounding you. You know, the Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And it also tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the issues of life, they flow out of our heart. So you have to begin to protect more than anything what you allow yourself, you know, to consume. That means what you're seeing on television, what you're hearing on the radio. All of these things get on the inside of you, and they begin to shape how you think and how you begin to direct your life. And what we got to understand is that Satan's only strategy really is that what God has said to get us to try to move our attention onto something else. And so if he can't do that, then he can't stop what God has already willed for our lives. And so if you're wanting to keep your, you know, if you wanted to keep your identity, you're going to have to, first and foremost, like I said, guard what is in your heart. I mean, guard yourself in what you're hearing and seeing. And then you just got to spend time, as Morgan's been talking about, spend time in the presence of God. Because the more you spend time in the presence of God, the more you'll have that same identity, the more you have those same thought processes. And as you have those same thought processes and that identity, now that begins to be carried out in your life. What you have on the inside of you begins to be seen on the outside of you. And so those are the two things that, I mean, it's really simple. It's just hard to do because there's so much distraction around.
That's true.
Amen. Nicole, what are your same question to you?
Can you rephrase the question?
Okay, no problem. So what I was asking was that, what are some of the strategies? I mean, obviously you're a young woman. What are the strategies that you can offer up to women listening right now to pretty much protect them against, you know, the lies of Satan's attacks against identity as a woman, like being single is a curse. It could be a multitude of different things.
I'm listening to everything, taking it in, to apply it to myself, but also more from like a selfish perspective. Let me answer first the curse stigma. God spoke to me, I just wrote it down in my notes as I'm listening. I think we need to preserve what we have before we actually intend to share it. And meaning a lot of times we can easily just get caught up with what one society sets off as like ideal for a relationship, or even get caught up in the word if we're not fully abiding in Christ, because we could read something, for example, like a cord of three strands. And that speaks multitude on any interpersonal relationship, but especially love. But you need to be of the same like caliber, so that way your strands can stick together, and everything in the word, whether Old or New Testament, always points back to Christ and the Trinity of the Holy Spirit working through you, and how Christ manifested God's love. And in a relationship, if you're not able to be steadfast with someone and connecting when you were that single strand, it's not going to latch on just because you have the other accords. That's not ideal, and that's probably like a false interpretation, because I'm listening to the bulk of what Morgan was saying. I was trying to really extract what speaks to me personally, but then listening from a different perspective of, wow, I never realized someone may benefit from that. It's not a curse, nor is it something that we should really hold over us that is going to be a challenge. We should embrace it. And we should also really realize that whatever we forfeit now is going to really crush our future. And temporary fixes, things that are appealing, that easily fades. And we don't want to be clipped from the vine which God is preparing us for. We want to continue to flourish, continue to grow. And that starts off with us as an individual. And sometimes I like to deviate more towards like a abstract but concrete example. With math, for example, and with numbers, a coefficient is something which is a number which could be used for anything, but when it's next to something that's constant is when it produces something unique. And if you're not constantly sticking with God and doing what God's work is ideally set out uniquely for you, you can line yourself up with any interchangeable man that comes in your life, or a woman. I will speak to both populations. And you're going to keep producing something that seems ideal because you put it in, such as in a calculator. There's no mistake. You put it in, it spits out what it appears to be. But that doesn't mean that that's what God had for you. So if we're not constant, everything that comes our way will seem like it's our coefficient, but it's really not. And you need to know yourself really well to know who you complement. Who do you sit well by? And who's going to show you Christ in their eyes before they use their vision to look at you with what's appealing to them? Because that's where I know me personally. I'll be very transparent. I have fallen, as so have many, but God has always led me out in a very gracious way. But I know that that's something that I need to be very keen and careful about, because I want to see Christ in my spouse. I don't want to see what appealed to me, because those things will one day fade. And as we know, God is what remains. So that's my advice, and I'm committed in love over my own head before I speak to anybody else.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was is that for young women to really pay attention to is to know your weaknesses and prepare to fight. And I say this because the Bible says that Satan is like a lion, and that's in 1 Peter 5:8. And if you've ever watched how lions attack, they usually go for the weakest member of the herd, the one lingering at the back of the pack. You know. So Satan doesn't really fight honestly. He's a coward, and our best defense against him is to really stay close to the Father, and to be on guard, and to know the areas of your weaknesses and doubts. You know, be ready to counter his lies with truth. Be ready to call on God when he threatens who you are. So, for example, if you know that you're wounded and you let's say, for example, you grew up without a father, and there's some father issues, and you have this yearning for male attention and things of that nature. And so what does the enemy do? He will send a bunch of Ishmaels your way in order to, why does he do this? He does this because he knows that one day God will bless you with that, with your Isaac, that man of God who was purposed for you. So what's going to happen? He's going to send a bunch of Ishmaels along to really distort your perception of what a man of God really is. And by the time that the man of God shows up, you're so hurt, you're so broken, you're so frustrated, you can't see this man. And so it's so important to protect that. And so, Minister Dell, we've had a lot of conversations about the difference between Ishmael and Isaac, and how your mindset can attract, just like blood and water attracts sharks, how your weaknesses from your wounds and your hurts can attract men sent from Satan to hinder your life.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting as you talk about Ishmael and Isaac, and even as she was speaking earlier, she was talking about how something can seem like it's good for you, but it's not. And a lot of times what we find is that we want to get into a relationship. We're believing God for a mate. We're believing God for a husband or believing God for a wife. But what we do is just like Abraham. When God says, I'm going to give you a son, what did Abraham do? He says, okay, cool. Well, there's Eliezer. He was born in my house, so I guess that's like my son. And God was like, nope, that's not the one. Then here comes Sarah. Hey, well, how about you sleep with my maidservant, and then that'll be a son that's born from your own loins. He's like, yeah, that sounds good. And that's the mistake a lot of us make. We start spending so much time. We hear what God says initially, but then we allow other people to come in, and they tell us something that's just a little bit different from what God said, and we take it and run with it because we fail to continue to listen to God and follow him and let him speak to us not only the what and the why, but the how. So now all of a sudden we're finding that we're giving birth to Ishmael because we're taking something and we're trying to use our own strength, our own ability, and our own will to bring to pass what God said he would do. And then we spend our life living with this Ishmael, trying to turn Ishmael into Isaac. Ishmael can never be Isaac. Only Isaac can be Isaac. And so you look at it, Abraham could not have promised son until he chose to cease from his own labor and his own self-effort, choose to believe and trust and continue to meditate upon what God said. And
Mr. Dell, I'm sorry, we're losing you a little bit there, sir.
Oh, okay. Basically, what I'm saying is that, let me try something here.
Okay, basically, what I'm saying is that Abraham had to continue to meditate on what God had promised him. He couldn't turn Ishmael into Isaac with his own self-effort. He just had to believe the promises of God. And once he got himself out the way and just begin to believe the promises of God, now all of a sudden, Isaac was able to be born. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Okay. Isaac was able to be born. And we got to get ourselves out the way. And we have to now begin to trust in the promises of God. And we got to stop trying to align ourselves with people that God didn't place in our lives. And so when we keep trying to live with people that God didn't place in our lives, the only thing that we end up doing is damaging each other. And we get so upset when somebody says, oh, well, I guess, you know, you were an Ishmael for somebody. But really, we should really think about it. Well, if I'm an Ishmael for them, then that means they're Ishmael for me as well. And God has Isaacs for both of us. And so we need to put our faith and our trust and our hope in what God has said and stop trying to just take a part of, oh, he promised me this, so now let me go do it. Let me go make it happen. When God promised and said he's the one that would make it happen, and all we have to do is believe and trust in him and continue to walk with him.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it's fear. It's the fear that the enemy uses fear tactics against us, the fear of singleness, the fear of love, the fear of, you know, of abandonment, all these things that the enemy tries to put in our hearts as far as why we're so scared of being alone. And so it's so important, you know, for women to understand that, as Minister Dev was talking about, Isaac versus Ishmael, and not only that, a man of God can be an Ishmael to a woman of God. You know, it doesn't mean he's from the devil. It just means that you guys are just not aligned in your purpose, you know. And so these are things that only God will reveal to you. I truly believe that as a child of God, you have a few options. You either marry someone that you think you want to marry, whether in the world or not in the world, and that's true disobedience. We know that. Your option number two would be to marry somebody who's another believer. Is that disobedience? I probably think not, because God gave you free will. However, the best choice, which is, I think would be number one, would be marry the man or marry the person that God has handpicked for you. He says, look, you can choose whatever you want, but this person right here, I believe he's the best choice for you. Because why? Because his purposes are aligned with your purpose. And I have given this person to you not only to cover your tomorrow, but to cover your next year and 10 years from now and 20 years from now, where you can grow with this person. And, you know, because you hear stories about people, they always say, oh, we grew apart and I don't know this person anymore, and we grew this. I went this way, he went that way. Why is that? It's because people these days are so, because of the pressures of the culture of this world, are so wants and preference driven. What do I mean by that? This is what I mean. When you pick somebody based upon your preferences and your wants, it shows that you don't know who you are. When you know who you are, you know what you need, and you know what you're not, who is meant to be in your life, what qualities you need. And so a lot of times what people do, they get into marriages based upon their wants and their preferences, or he's 6'5", he's this, he's that, not only to discover that they're not happy because they don't have what they need. But they don't have what they need because they sacrificed what they needed for what they wanted back then. So knowing who you are and knowing who you are in Christ is definitely a big deterrent to end up being with an Ishmael. Morgan, what do you think about my comment?
I'm sorry, was that directed towards me?
Were you directing
Morgan.
That towards
Morgan.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, what do you think about my comment?
Honestly, I didn't. When I used to, like, first off, when I first became single, I would always hear about the Ishmael stuff, and I never really understood it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as I guess you can say, I'm, you know, went through my fair share of hills and valleys. Honestly, I see it as, sorry, my dog is crying around. I see it as being able, obviously, to see it with your spiritual eyes. And there's a lot of things in red flags that we're going to get that won't allow us, there'll be a lot of things in a lot of areas and we can't see it straight on. When we look personally at them, they may have good characteristics, they may be a really great person, but honestly, it's up to us to, like we said, have that presence with God, have that walk with God in such a way that we can see the red flags and we can see that Ishmael to be an Ishmael, and we can see, you know, everything we need to see effectively, because if we're not careful, we will, like I said, be in a marriage or be in a relationship and realize that was not the route to go, that was not God. And if we're not careful, we really will be in that. And honestly, I think the biggest thing for single women is to not be so willing to rush into it or jump into it, regardless of, you know, our age or whatever, but to have that patience and to have that heart for God, because that's, patience is it, and it's called long-suffering in the Bible for a reason, you know. And it may feel sometimes like it's not coming around, or, gosh, God, I'm literally sitting here suffering, you know, I want this and that. But if we're not careful, our vision and our views will override, like you said, man. Like, I don't know how many times I've saw a person thinking that was what I wanted. You know, I was looking at the characteristics of the man versus really saying, God, what is your heart? What is your heart for me? You know, and so I feel like you can be led astray if you seek out your own devices for real. You will be led astray trying to find a man that fits your characteristics and your criteria, when really God may have someone just totally different. Yeah, sorry. So that was long. Yeah. Yeah.
Nicole, same question to you.
Going back to what we discussed earlier this week, types. So I have a bias. I don't believe people should have a type.
but I feel like people should have traits. And what I mean by that is type is more like a category where we try to fit people into something that we feel like we will be so appealed to it. So, yes, I will commit to that because it's in a category where I feel comfortable. But traits are distinctive ways for people to show us their personality. And then that's that area you're like, oh, hold on. I know I asked for this, but now that it's presented in this way, I'm not sure if I could really sing what I asked or signed up for. And types, honestly, or having a type, nothing wrong within our own human nature to want to be gravitated towards that. It's good to know yourself. It's good to know what your worth is. It's good to know that you have the potential to abstract things from another individual and say, I really admire that. But I don't think that should be your starting or end point. I think that should be something that God is stitching together. And before you know it, you are facing someone who is going to lift you up and bring you closer to Christ, which is the center of your relationship, or if that is a pursuit you're working on, your hope for that. Because eventually it's just like you're not going to keep pouring into something that is not filling you. And there's a lot of people, we've all been there, who have voids, even when they feel that you are like, a good friend of mine and I were talking earlier, and she really brought something to my eyes. Like, you know, you can do so many things to mask the surface level of something, but you'll still be at a void. And that's the last thing you want to do in a relationship. I know earlier this week I mentioned to Raz the fact that we have free will and the fact that God knows that we are of sin. But honestly, free will times sin is a byproduct of chasing things and then reverting back to God like, oh my goodness, you gave me this beautiful thing of free will, even knowing that I come from sin, and you gave me the chance and you gave me grace. But because I let the two intertwine in a place where you will always be there at my, you know, cry for you if I'm serving you, but the same thing that you let us say to God is the same thing you're going to go back to him and ask, can we try this again? So it's like, just know what you pursue if you're going to be the type of individual who does seek a type, but then just know that if you're going to want a good relationship for longevity, seek the traits, because that's what's going to stretch you, that's going to grow you. And Morgan touched base on this beautifully earlier. This thing that you should be serving God in your singleness and not even realize it's Friday, it's Tuesday, it's this day, it's that day. I'm living, like, freely is the same way you should be when you're in a relationship that is God-ordained.
Amen. Minister Dale, I wanted to ask you, you're an author, and you've wrote several books, and you also have your own radio show, where you have dedicated your ministry to, you know, the pursuit of obtaining a godly spouse God's way through seed time and harvest and through the principles of the Word of God. I want to touch upon the area that I think Morgan talked about this briefly in her delivery, and it's the feeling of rejection and why how rejection hurts, especially a lot of women go through rejection as through different relationships and what have you, and how the enemy uses that to keep them bound and keep them wounded. And sometimes, though, we've talked about how rejection is actually God's protection. Can you expound upon that?
Yes, because, see, again, it goes back to, even as we're talking, Ishmael and Isaac, you know. So you have somebody in your life that you just, oh my gosh, I'm head over heels in love with. I believe this is the best for me, and God is looking down the road saying, you know, this is not best for you. This is not what's best for you. So that relationship ends, and we have the tendency to carry that hurt and carry that pain. And if we're not careful, we allow that hurt and that pain to become our identity, and we allow it to speak to us more than we speak to God. I remember, you know, a few of my breakups, you know, as a young man, and it was a scarring thing, instead of actually keeping my own self-worth in who I am, I'm allowing that situation now to make me feel a little less about myself. And that all comes from a place of insecurity, not knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Because when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you don't even necessarily look at it as them rejecting you so much as it is, oh, that's just not for me. Your identity is secure. Okay, yeah, it may have hurt my feelings that the relationship didn't work or whatever. I may be a little disappointed, but my identity is secure. So we find that that rejection is a lot of it when it stings and it sticks with us and it affects our identities because we really aren't sure or we haven't become secure in the place of who we are in Christ, you know, because even Christ was rejected. You know, not everybody accepted Christ, so there's no way that we can assume that everybody is going to accept us and everybody is going to love us and everybody is going to be for us. That's just not what's going to happen. You know, we all know the parable Jesus talking about the wedding, and they sent out the invitations, and most of those people didn't even show up. So he says, all right, go out to the highways and the byways. You know, go invite whoever will come. And so you got to realize not everybody, many are called but few are chosen, not everybody is going to be allowed or going to be capable of walking with you in this life because they have different destinations. They have different purposes. They have different things that they were created for. So you can't allow it to affect your self-worth because who you are is who God created you to be. God made you beautiful. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the enemy wants to take every little bit of hurt, every little bit of pain, every little situation and try to magnify it to make us lose focus of who we are and get us to look at the wind and the waves instead of looking at Jesus. And so you just have to be very careful about that. You know, when you're going through those moments of rejection, it's okay to feel the hurt and the pain. Take it to God. God, this hurts. Oh, this made me feel this way. But, Father, I thank you that this is what you said about me in your word. Allow God to heal you. Allow God to love on you. And that's what Morgan was talking about when she said for 6 months, nobody talked to her. That was God just loving on her at that moment. And she had to learn to receive that love because if you don't learn to receive the love of God and learn to accept his vision and his identity for who you are, then you won't be able to receive it from somebody else, and all they end up doing is hurting you. So, you know, it just becomes that thing that the enemy is going to try to tear you down through these broken relationships, and that's why God does not want us to be out here trying to date every other person because these things will damage us. So I encourage any woman not to listen to herself, to do as Morgan mentioned, you know, take some time, be by yourself, learn to receive the love of God, get a revelation of God's love for you, accept his identity for you, and then when those times come that rejection happens in your life, you'll be able to fall back on the identity that Christ has established for you.
Amen. Amen.
All right. With that said, let's shut down the show. I mean, that was all right. That
Amen.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
Morgan, what do you think about his comment?
Oh, man, I feel like he asked why, and he dropped the mic. Yeah. He was saying, like, man, even when they reject you, you got to go back to that identity. If your identity was in Christ, you're straight. Like, I'm like, yes, that's where a lot of us, including myself at one time, you know, fell short. My identity wasn't in Christ, which I thought it was. But when I hit that rejection, oh, it showed me really who my identity was. And it was in myself. It was in my own natural characteristics, not truly leaning on the power of God. And if something he said was like, spend that time with him, man. Like, you know, tell him what the issue is, you know. If he's sitting there heartbroken, be honest, you know. Hey, Lord, I'm heartbroken. He cares. And some people think, oh, some things are too small, and nothing is too small for God, even if it's your insecurity with your hair, if it's an insecurity about your teeth or, you know, anything in that nature. You know, as a single woman, God wants you to bring those insecurities so when you go into your marriage, they don't have to have control over you anymore. That you won't be 2-3 years in your marriage talking about, baby, I'm still battling with depression. Girl, you was battling that in your singleness. That should have got handled then, you know. So let's get that stuff together now in our singleness so it doesn't have to follow us into our marriages. But, yeah, his comment is good.
Amen. Amen. You know, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about Fiery Darts Will Come. Special guest Morgan is in the building. And, guys, I want to talk about Fiery Darts of Depression.
Hey, excuse me, Ryan.
Yes, sir.
But, Ryan, you hear me? Can I just add one thing, Morgan? Just,
sure,
and,
go ahead.
And I just wanted to add this. From a guy's perspective, if you're dealing with hurt and rejection, because she said, you know, being honest with God. So here's what happens when we've all encountered that woman who she's been hurt, she's been rejected, and she goes on this diet, she goes on this thing of, I don't need nobody else, it's just me and God. But she's really not being completely honest. It's just me. It's her defense mechanism. If you do that, you attract what you give off. So you think that you're in church sometimes. Oh, I'm lifting up my hands. I'm going through the rigmarole of lifting my hands and crying out to God. I'm trying to be deep and holy without really wanting anybody to know that I'm hurting. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Every guy in that room that has that same hurt and that same pain that you have, they instantly turn to you, and it's like a homing signal. And all of a sudden, you're like, why do the same type of dude keep coming up to me? Because you keep using I don't need nobody else as this defense mechanism, and you're not allowing God to heal you. But what you are actually doing is you're releasing a homing signal that's drawing to you people that continuously hurt you because you refuse to allow God to heal you by being real with him. That's all I want to say.
Man. Now, Minister Dell, how does that work exactly? Because I know that your mode of thinking, your soul can attract, like you said, it's like a magnet. It can attract, like, you know, you talk to certain types of, you know, men and women who always attract a certain type of individual in their lives. And what can you break that down? Why is that exactly? Is it the mindset of a person? Is that the enemy bringing their type or that person to them all every single time? What is that exactly?
It's fear. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without fear, it's impossible for Satan to move into your life. So whatever you're releasing, you know, what you're thinking about all the time, those emotions on the inside of you that you aren't dealing with, those things are actually flowing out of you. You know how you always say somebody's giving off this kind of vibe. That's what's coming out of that person's heart. That's the sum total of everything that they think about all the time, that everything that they feed on. So when you are feeding those thoughts of, man, ain't no good man around, you know, and I don't know why I can't find a man, you know, Lord, I pray 12 hours a day, but I still can't find a man. Basically, that's that doubt and that unbelief seeping out. And all of a sudden now you're drawing to you the things, you're drawing to you things that are being said by that spirit of fear. So in order to receive what God has for you, you have to come from a place of faith. And if you can actually sit there and say, Lord, I'm hurting and I'm bringing it to you, that's a place of faith because, you know, we always say fake it till you make it, but really it's kind of like be it until I am it, you know, because you want to be honest with God. God, this is who I am. This is what I'm feeling, but this is what your word says, so I choose to believe your word. And you allow that faith to infiltrate your life and invade every part of your life because if you don't, you know, even with Job, where his children died and everything, and he even said himself, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. It wasn't that Satan just decided to, oh, I'm going to wreak havoc on his life just because. It was because he released fear. So if you're going to release fear in your life over and over and over again, you're going to get those results. So you're going to get the results of doubt and unbelief if that's what you're releasing. If you're always releasing, you know, selfishness, that's what you get back. But if you can release faith and just stand in there and believe God and just, you know, have that relationship with him, you're going to get the result that faith brings.
And that's a very powerful comment. And I wanted to, Nicole, I think me and you were talking about this early on today when we talked about having a type. And it's very important as women of God, you know, and men of God too, not to restrict God within the type, because when you say a type, I mean, I'm not speaking against preferences and you know, you can admire certain things, but don't allow that to hinder God in blessing you, because, you know, type could be the men that Satan has been sending you all your life to keep you bound. And so if you get used to that type of type, that will block you from receiving who God has for you. Minister Dell, as far as the type is concerned, like, is there a fine line between what I like, my preferences, versus what if? Because I know a lot of women say this. What if God gives me someone I don't like? I'm not attracted to.
Well, I would always say this. First of all, when God blesses you with something, you can rest assured that you will be thoroughly satisfied. You know, as the scripture says, He satisfies my mouth with good things. So God is not going to – we got to get out of this mindset that God is going to give me something that I need that I don't like. Trust me, when He gives you something that you need, you will thoroughly enjoy it. You know, God is so in tune with who we are. He knows everything about us because He created us. So, therefore, what He has for us should fit perfectly within our lives. And when I say perfectly, I don't mean that a person is without flaw, but that means they completely fulfill the task that God has designed them for within our lives. Now, when it comes to a type, I mean, some, you know, people say, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And I would say it depends. It depends on where that type coming from. I mean, what have you been feeding on and meditating on to develop that type? If the type of woman that you or the type of man that you desire is based off of you reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God and spending time in prayer and that image developing on the inside of you because that Word is on the inside of you speaking and talking to you, then that type is not wrong. But the type that you have is because you've been spending time, let's say, watching pornography or spending time just chasing the dudes who have money, or you just want the woman with the big booty and the, you know, big butt and the smile or whatever, then okay, now, there may be something wrong with that type. So what's feeding your desire? What's feeding that mindset? What's feeding that type? And only then can we figure out whether or not that type is right or wrong.
Okay, that was pretty powerful, man of God. We have a few callers here. I want to go to a few lines here and see who's on the line here. We have a caller from the 619 area code. Hello, caller, do you have a question or comment? Caller from the 619 area code, do you have a question or comment? All right, I guess they just want to listen in. It's not a problem. Okay, my next point. So, let me ask you this, Nicole. For women who are dealing with various addictions like sex, pornography, you know, what would you say would be the best way for them to handle that? Because that's definitely a fiery dart from the enemy. It could be validation that they may be yearning from not having a father around. It could be a series of relationships trying to find love in all the wrong places. What's the best way to deal with addictions?
Well, I'm going to speak from a straight spectrum. If they're rooted in Christ, seek the Word, seek hedges of protection, seek a healthy community, which mirrors the philosophy of such as AA, for example. But deeper than that, always stand firm because you're going to fall. That's within our flesh. We have weaknesses. But Corinthians speaks on the fact that there's no point in which man can fall that God cannot save him from, because His grace is sufficient. And whatever we're addicted to, the same way that Minister Dell has brought up that scripture a few times, Matthew 12:34. The reason why I choose Matthew is because the numerical value is 1, 2, 3, 4. And I always stop and count to 4 and say, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is going to speak. And I feel that the same is true. Out of the abundance of your soul, your spirit is going to resonate with others. So whatever you're addicted to or those people that is attracting you, check yourself and check what atmosphere you're entering into. And if you are suffering, if you are battling, just know that you are highly, highly loved and you were created in God's image. And there's no one or nothing that is beyond reproach. Sometimes it's going to hurt more to find the peace and find the healing, but you need to seek really strong people in the faith and have them carry you. There's things that I find like I never would have even told myself, and I found like just blurting it out to my spiritual mom and then feeling, even in the midst of being an open wound, God and the Holy Spirit just patch me so graciously and show me, like, I got you, but there are other people that are living diligently and following this life and fulfilling what they're called to do, and that's why it feels like a little sting, but you're completely going to be healed when you seek me, but you resort to those in whom I entrusted to be a hedge of protection over you, and we all need a community, and we all need to be really secured in the Word of God if we are facing any addiction of any kind, because that's not the question. I had a really good friend back home in our youth ministry, and he always said, you know, the problem is not sin. We know that exists. The problem is walking into the atmosphere in which it provokes. Fire is a natural disaster, such as every other one. We learn to be protected from it because we know the jeopardy of entering into it. And if you're battling with something, back to the first word that that came to my mind, that Raz brought up this topic when it comes to Ephesians, the whole armor of God. And it's standing against the schemes of the devil. It's not like standing out there and waiting to see what may come your way, or like, oh, just be on the lookout. No, everything in the Bible sets us up for the fact that what we have in our power through Christ, not in our own will, but it always has the like preceding thing of what the devil is capable of doing, and the antecedent always the reassurance of what you can do to be redeemed from that, because that's what Christ has done, modeled, and wants for us.
Amen, amen. Well, guys, we're coming towards the end of the show, and I wanted to thank everybody for coming on the show, and I just wanted to get some closing comments. Morgan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, Morgan. You said some really powerful things today, and I'm sure that a lot of people heard what you had. It was heartfelt, you know. And what would your closing comments be to women who are listening right now, Morgan, who are going through certain struggles of sexual addiction and in and out of bad relationships and things of that nature, and are trying to, they love the Lord, they're trying to do the right thing, they're trying to, you know, get to the level where they can really be free from these types of entanglements. What would your closing comments be to those women listening right now?
My closing comment would be, whatever you are battling with, if it is addiction or something of that nature, you need to starve it. So if it's pornography, get off of Twitter after dark, get off of Instagram. If it is maybe some drinking or things of that nature, whatever resources or whatever outings you usually go to where you get, you know, pulled into that, like you said, the atmosphere, then you need to starve it. I mean, literally, when you want a better life in God, you got to make some bigger changes in your life, you know. And so with that being said, I would definitely tell you, if you're battling with any addictions or anything in that nature, you need to starve it, because if starving it is where it's not going to be able to get fed anymore. Right, and as you continue to feed it in the Word of God and you continue to get in the Lord's presence, a lot of times our addictions are a lot deeper than the natural eye. And so when you start to get more into the presence of God, and the more you starve it, the more you're going to get to the root of those issues. And something you said earlier was like daddy issues, or, you know, all the love in the wrong places type of deal. Yeah, it's going to get you, it's going to cut you deep, but it's going to get you delivered. And so to my single ladies out there, obviously I'm a single woman and I have so much love for single women, because I know what God can do in your single season. So what I will tell you is, don't sleep on yourself, because in this season, if you sleep on yourself, you're going to sleep on God. And God is probably wanting to do some amazing things in you. He's wanting to transform you, not only your mind, but your life. Okay. And so it starts with the mind first. So allow God to transform you in this season, and to walk strong, and to skip that tunnel vision, and to only see God, only seek God. All right. So that's all I have to say to my single ladies.
Amen.
All right.
I love
it. All right. You know, before I go to the next co-host, we have another guest on the line who just came on. Her name is Minister Mary Bunnell. Minister Mary, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How is everyone doing there?
We are good.
Great.
Now, Minister Mary, the topic of our show is titled "Fiery Darts Will Come," and this is a show dedicated to, you know, to young women in particular, but women in general, encouraging them on living for God in a world that is against them, as far as through the culture, their purity and many aspects of life. And so what words would you give to encourage women listening right now? Because I know your ministry is dedicated to women, to their healing, their inner healing, through the things that they, through different things like abuse and what have you. What advice would you give to women who are trying to live holy and godly in this current culture?
Well, first and foremost, I truly believe in inner healing, period. It's so important to receive the healing that we need. What does that look like? It may mean that you receive ministry for removing some of those lies that we've been believing about ourselves. Identity is so important. Those wounds that we've been afflicted with from childhood that have lied to us to tell us that we're unworthy or we're not good enough, those things, because that all comes into play when we're trying to live holy and pure lives. The more that we know our identity in Christ, the more that we know who we are and our worthiness in Him, because we are worthy. We are created as He has been created. We are, because of who He is in us, we walk in purity and holiness. However, when we're walking in our brokenness, because we're dealing with some of the things and hurts of our past, that interferes with our walk of holiness many times. I've had many of people say to me, I really want to live a pure life, but I keep getting pulled back into my old ways, into old ways, and it's hard for me. A lot of times, young women especially, and women of all ages, quite honestly, maybe there's people pleasing or there's a sense of validation through men, because that's what we've been told, that if we're pretty or if we're smart enough, then we'll be worthy. And so a lot of young women seek that validation from men. And I'm not going to say just young women. I say women of all ages, because that's where they're trying to obtain their worthiness from. But when we recognize that our identity is solidified in Christ and our identity is in who He says we are, and that we don't need to go to the things of the world to establish our worthiness, because our worthiness is already in Him, because He is in us and we are made righteous through Him. See, but I can tell them that, and I can say that to everyone. I can even say that to myself. But unless we truly believe it with our hearts, then we won't walk in it. So I would say the first and foremost thing is receive healing for those inner areas where you're dealing with that hurt and the pain from the past, and you're trying to seek that validation from others. Because when we try to seek validation from others, we're always going to fall short. We're never going to get there. It's just not never going to happen, because we're trying to get validation from imperfect people who are just as imperfect as we are. And so that's never going to happen. But when we find perfection in Him, because He is perfect and we're made perfect in Him, that's when we can truly walk in purity and holiness.
Okay, Minister Mary, there's a young lady listening right now. She's been raped. She has been molested, or there's a lot of hurt, a lot of scars. How does she? What are the things that she has to do to go through the process of healing?
First and foremost, I would say that there's a process. I mean, it's not all going to be taken care of all at once, but there is a process. First and foremost, go to the Word of God to establish identity. That's the first and foremost, because a lot of that. A lot of those things that those lies that were believed at the point of that rape came into being. So that's part of renewing of the mind, as the scripture says. But also receiving, because that, there was trauma there. If she has been raped, there is trauma. And so that trauma needs to be dealt with. And a lot of times what people don't even know and realize that there are generational things that come into play as well. A lot of trauma was already coming down the family line. So even if this thing was isolated because of rape, let's say, there may have been other situations in the family line that came down that family line as well, so that there may have been an open door there. So we need to cut off those curses, as Deuteronomy says, to cut off those generational curses. But most importantly is seeking the Lord Jesus Christ to heal the heart. And it may mean going back to that memory and asking the Lord Jesus, Jesus, heal my heart in this. Because that heart needs to be healed. When we are carrying a shattered heart, we're not walking in wholeness. And forgiveness is the key. Forgiveness is the key to wholeness. You know, a lot of people say, how can I forgive this? This is unforgivable. But the Lord says in His Word that as if we forgive those that have trespassed against us, that He will forgive us for our sins. See, there's a promise, but there's also a condition. So we must forgive that perpetrator. We must forgive the people that have hurt us, because if we can't forgive them, then we're still bound with them. It's like an invisible chain that we can't release off of us. We're carrying this ball and chain with us, and that ball and chain is the person that hurt us. See, forgiveness is not about the other person. Forgiveness is about ourselves. When we forgive, we release ourselves. And that's why forgiveness is so important. So the first step is to forgive that person. The second step that I see, a lot of times forgiveness is harder when we're trying to forgive ourselves. Many times we can forgive others, but forgiving ourselves is a harder thing. And so forgiving ourselves, and people may say, you know, why should I forgive? I did nothing wrong. I was the victim. I did nothing wrong. But a lot of times, when people were raped or molested as children or even as adults, what happens is that we begin to formulate ungodly beliefs about that situation. For example, I was at the wrong place and I shouldn't have been there, so they start blaming themselves. Or maybe I wore the wrong outfit and I shouldn't have been wearing that, and that's what caused it to happen. Or maybe I was doing something that caused it. So they start blaming themselves. So we have to forgive ourselves for those things, even if we really didn't do anything wrong, because most rape victims, quite honestly, did nothing wrong. Most all of them did nothing wrong to deserve that or to get that or for that to happen in the first place. But they have to forgive themselves. They've got to release themselves from that situation. So forgiveness of oneself is so important. And they may have anger and disappointment with God, because it's like, God, why did you allow this to happen? But you know what? God didn't allow that to happen. We live in a broken world with broken people, but it doesn't mean that we don't necessarily have anger or disappointment with God because of it, and God already knows that, so we need to release that as well. God knows how we feel, and He's not discouraged by it. He doesn't say, you know what, I'm mad at you because you're mad at me. No, absolutely not. The Lord loves us so much, and He already knows that. If Jesus on the cross said, Father, why have you forsaken me? How can we not say, Lord, why did you disappoint me? I'm angry with you. He wants us, as the Psalm 147 says, David says, he cried out to God. You know, God wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to share our feelings and emotions to Him. So that's the beginning point of healing, is forgiveness and releasing those negative emotions, and then asking the Lord to come and heal our heart. And then the final thing I would say is to ask the Lord, after they've done these things, to ask Him, where were you in that situation? Because many will find that Jesus was actually protecting them and holding them, and He was with them. He did not want that to happen, but He was with them all along, and He's been with them ever since, and He was with them before that. You know, so a lot of times it's just seeing the truth of the situation, because many times we believe lies about what happened or how it happened, but God is a revealer of truth. And so healing the heart is so important.
Amen. All right. That was definitely on point right there, Minister Mary. Minister Dale, closing comments, sir.
Well, if I had to say anything, it would be, you know, continue to trust in God and believe what His word has said, what He's already said about you. Accept His identity and fight against the tricks and the tactics of the enemy to convince you otherwise. You know, don't allow this world to make you feel like you are less than what you are, because there is so much pressure put on women every day to conform to whatever standards somebody wants to make up that given day. And even as Morgan mentioned, you know, going to church and people always wondering, oh, well, when you get married? Well, when you get married? You know, all of these things, it's pressure. And it's pressure being applied to your identity, to your faith in God and Christ and who he made you. And so don't allow that pressure to define you. Continue to find your comfort and your security in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you do that, you're releasing your faith that he has already taken care of every part of your life. And that's when you will be able to see, you know, everything that you've been looking for, when you're able to remain in that place of rest. He has a place of rest for us. We just got to labor to enter into that place of rest. We got to labor to maintain our faith, our belief, our stance in him. And he has already taken care of it.
Absolutely. Amen. Nicole, it's been a good show. What are your closing comments?
Amen. This has been an uplifting and empowering show for anybody who is just appreciating the purity and beauty of any interpersonal relationship, whether you're a man or a woman. I hope that you took something with you and that God is blessing your heart. To all of the maternal figures I have in my life, mom, spiritual mom, aunt, myself, to my fellow single ladies, women that I admire that are in fruitful relationships, my sisters, my future daughters. I just, some scripture that came to mind, which I'll briefly allude to, is God is within her and she cannot fall. Don't conform to the patterns of this world, but continue to be renewing your mind and make your body a sacrificial offering to the Lord. And don't sell yourself short because you were bought at a very high cost. And a lot of times we can feel like our singleness is, what is the word that I'm trying to look with? Something cannot produce. But even in the sense of, like, when you look at how things grow and in the process of, like, metamorphosis or whatever it is, no matter what fruit is picked and decided if it's going to ripe or flourish, to be sold or to be consumed, everything starts with a seed and a pit, and we have to know that this is our season. This is where we are, and we need to nurture that so that way it can fully develop and form and be 100% ready for what God has for us. And sometimes we have to stop and realize that our vision will sell us out short if we're not looking at it through the lens of Christ. And I just hope everybody takes something from what we all shared today, and that God can continue hovering over this ministry with his hand and protect us all to be uplifted. And I hope someone who really needed to hear this was able to tune in.
Amen. Amen. Well, Minister Mary, I know that you you just pretty much joined the show, and but we're actually going to be closing the show pretty soon. And so far from what you've heard, it's kind of interesting because the common theme, I guess, the Holy Spirit is really being emphasizing on this show tonight is identity in Christ. And you know, Minister Morgan mentioned that, you know, Minister Dell mentioned that, Nicole mentioned that, I mentioned that, and you mentioned it. So we definitely understand that identity is the key, is a crucial a word here for tonight. But real quick, Minister Mary, what would be your closing comments to women listening right now?
I would say to all of the single people, and even married people, I would say to all of us believers, to continue to persevere, to not give up, and to not give up hope, that the Lord has given us all that we need. I mean, truly, we have Jesus in us. Everything that he did on this earth when he was here, we also can and will do. The authority that he had, we have. The thing that we lack as Christians is identity. When we know our identity in Christ, sky's the limit. That's when we bring heaven to earth. We can pull down heaven to earth. And so it's so important to seek out and to know our true identity. And the way we do that is, one, by reading the scriptures, to really go from a point of reading them, knowing them mentally, but really they need to go from our mind to our heart. When we know the scriptures with our heart, when we receive the scriptures with our heart, we're going to begin to walk into the fullness of our identity. The other thing that I would encourage people to do, and I think one of the ministers said it as well, is the presence of God, to be in that place with God. He says, be still and know that I am God. It's in that stillness. And I used to ask, what is that stillness looks like? What does it look like for me? Different for everyone. It could be in the morning waking up and just spending that hour with him and just spending that time worshiping him, praising him, loving on him. It could be for someone else a walk in the park and just being with him. But it's a relationship. See, Jesus did not die for religion. He died for relationship. And that's why Father God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross so that we could be saved. Why? Because he loved us. We love him because he loved us first. It's relationship. It's not religion. It's relationship. We, even as a married couple, you don't have a marriage unless you're in relationship. We are the bride and he is our bridegroom. We need to establish that relationship and go back to the foundation, which is relationship. When we have relationship and we know the word of God with our heart, when we receive it and accept it and believe it with our heart, we're going to walk in the fullness of our identity. When we walk in the fullness of our identity, we're going to walk in the fullness of our authority. When we walk in the fullness of our authority in him, we're going to bring heaven to earth.
Amen. Wow. Amen. All right. Well, guys, it's coming time to the end of the show, and I just wanted to thank Morgan. Man, all I can say is thank God for you, woman of God. Keep doing what you're doing. And Morgan, we're gonna have you back on the show. Is that okay?
All right, that's perfect. I enjoy it.
All right, and I want to say thank you to Nicole for coming on the show. Minister Dale Lott, thank you so much, man of God, and thank you to Minister Mary for coming on the show as well. It's been a good show, guys, and I want you to tune back in 2 weeks' time. And my closing comments to this is that Satan's attacks, his fiery darts on women of all ages, is meant to steal your hope, meant to kill your confidence, meant to destroy your identity. And, you know, Satan wants you to doubt your value and your identity in God. So, but there is good news, and that good news is Jesus Christ. He is the protector of our identity. He's the rescuer of our souls and the one who overcomes. So to guard against Satan's lies about who we are, we must guard ourselves with God's word, which is the best place to discover your true identity. My name is Raz Williams with Can We Talk. I will speak to you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless.
Night. Thank you.